And I certainly appreciate the compliments and the words of encouragement from the message last night regarding praying to forgive. And if you weren't here, you want to hear that sermon, it's on the website. Just go to the website and you'll find the sermons there. And you can listen to it. It's on there already. Thank you, Brother Chris, for doing that. And tonight, for just a few moments, we're going to talk for just a couple of minutes about the sinner's prayer. And I'll be starting in Luke chapter 18, but I'll probably have 15 or 16 verses of scripture that Kobe had me on his toes back there to keep up with me. But just they're in order, buddy. And you're ready to rock back there, and I am too. But the sinner's prayer, and it's in Luke chapter 18. And when you find that in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, please stand in honor of God's Word. And we're going to read that, and then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. So everyone, please stand in honor of God's Word. I'm going to read this five or six verses here. Has anyone here ever heard the phrase, the sinner's prayer? How many people have heard that? Do you guys heard that? Well, most people here have heard that. What does that mean to you? Just anybody. What's it mean to you? Someone's lost and he's saved. It's called the sinner's prayer. Anybody else?
The first prayer that God hears is from the sinner. He is saved.
Amen. You see, the sinner's prayer is a prayer that is prayed by those who feel convicted by God of sin in their lives, and they want to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But to be, let me ask you this before I begin tonight. But to be saved, is all you have to do is say a prayer? We're going to cover all that tonight. Right? It's just not praying a prayer. Amen? So why do we pray then? Why do we do that first? We're going to learn about that. Look on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Look in your Bible if you got one. Luke chapter 18, starting there at verse 9. Jesus speaking, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. Bless it to our hearts and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So here in Luke chapter 18, we got two guys that are praying. One of them is a Pharisee. And the Bible says that a Pharisee was a religious man. Amen. A Pharisee is a religious man. But his prayer, did you guys notice something? He kept saying, I this and I that and I this, right? What does it mean when somebody's always talking about themselves? Are they selfish? Could that come into play? Of course it can. Five times here he says, I. Hey, all that showed was that he only cared for himself, and he was just praying to show how good he was to everybody. Amen? And then it says this second man, he was a publican, not a Republican, a publican. Amen? And a publican, when you see that in the Bible, that means he is a tax collector. He collected taxes from everyone. So that's what he was. And his prayer was beautiful. He prayed a prayer asking for forgiveness. And Jesus said that one of these guys prayed by himself, and then the other went away justified. Now, when you see the word justified in the Bible, that was a tax collector. And when the Bible says, when Jesus said he went away justified, that means he went away saved. Yeah. Amen? And so, was it that prayer that saved that tax collector? Not really. But that prayer is important because it shows us a few things about what it means to be saved and what we need to do regarding God's Son, Jesus, and what he's done for us. So for just a few minutes tonight, I want to share some things with you. I want to tell you what it means to be saved. Amen? And I want to tell you how to be saved. Does that sound good?
Amen.
All right, let's get on with it. So what exactly does it mean to be saved? Exactly what does it mean? All right, this is what it means to be saved. Without Jesus as my Savior, I am spiritually dead. All right, I'm spiritually dead. I have no hope, and I am without God. But when Jesus comes into my heart, Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says this. When Jesus comes into my heart, He forgives my sins.
Amen.
Up on the screen it says, whosoever believeth in Him, that Him is Jesus, shall receive remission. That means they're taken away. That means forgiveness of sins. All right? So when I do that, Jesus forgive my sins. The next thing is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Not only does Jesus come into my heart and forgive me of my sin, He writes my name down in the book of life. It says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now that verse is talking about going into heaven. Amen. Your name's not in the book of life. You're not getting into heaven. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, not only does Jesus come into my heart and say, and forgive me my sins, not only does He write my name down in the book of life, He saves my soul. Amen. Right there it is. That's why Jesus came. Folks, if anybody ever asks you, young people, if anybody ever asks you, why did Jesus come to earth? What's that verse of Scripture say? Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was in another part of the world last year and I preached a message, what it means to be lost. I'm not going to do that one tonight, but I might do it sometime for you. Amen. That's why Jesus came. He saves my soul. Now listen, a few things happen after I put my faith in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when I believe in Jesus as my Savior, oh, look there. I'm a new creation. It says, therefore, if any man, that's a generic term. That means, therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
That's what that means. That's another thing that happens. Also, John chapter 1, verse 12. You become a child of God. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons, that means sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what it means to be saved. That's what it's talking about there. But there's always questions that come up. I've led several people to the Lord. I don't even know how many, but several. And there's always some questions that come up from older people, from younger people, and all ages in between. Now, you say, preacher, what does Jesus save us from? What does Jesus save us from? Well, that's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So what does Jesus save us from? Well, He saves us from our sins. No, well, that leads to another question, doesn't it? What is sin? What is sin? That's found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. What is sin? Sin is breaking God's law. That's what sin is. Breaking God's law. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. It's breaking God's law. Who has sinned? Hey, y'all know that, don't you? That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Who has sinned? Everybody. What's that say there? Look up on the screen. Let's read it together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anybody shoot a bow and arrow? You guys shot a bow and arrow? All right. Let me get this is a mental picture of what this is saying. And have you ever shot an arrow and you miss it low? You know, the target's out there 20, 30, 40, 50 yards, and you shoot. I'm not a good archer. I'm just trying here. And you shoot, and the arrow goes out there, falls a little short. Maybe you're shooting at a deer or something, or a turkey, and you shoot, and you got it on the wrong pin, and you thought he was at 20 yards, but he's really at 30 yards. And if you think he's close and he's really far away, the arrow's going to go out there, it's going to come up a little short. That's what that means. That means God has a target. And we've shot our arrow at it, and it's come up short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, well, if I've sinned, what's the penalty for my sin? That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. What's the penalty for my sins? What's it say there, folks? The wages of sin is? The wages of sin is death. I die two ways if I'm not saved. First, I die physically. This body dies. And then I die spiritually. My soul dies. You say, well, what happens? I just go to sleep and I never wake up? No. It means you're separated from God forever. The Bible calls that place hell. For the wages of sin is death. So how can I be saved? How can I be saved? I like what the rest of that verse says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of sin, I die physically. That's why everybody's like, you guys see this gray hair? I have gray hair because of sin. All these prayer requests you guys had, so-and-so's sick, so-and-so's having this operation, that's because of sin. That's why. This old gray hair, all those health problems, that's just a reminder, everybody, that one of these days, you're going to die. Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. You don't die because you're a bad person. You don't die because you're a good person. You don't die because you're young. You don't die because you're old. You die because of sin. That's why you die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So how can I be saved? How can I be saved? We're saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm sorry for my sin. And I turn. You might have heard, anybody heard the word repent? You guys heard that word repent? That means to turn around and go the other direction. It means to have a changed mind about what you're doing. To repent and to look to Jesus to forgive me. So, wait a minute. I'm saved by trusting Jesus and repenting? Yeah. Do I have to work for my salvation? Do I have to do anything for it? No. No, you don't. You see, salvation is a free gift from God. Everybody like getting something for free? Man, I like free stuff. I hope you like free stuff. Salvation is a free gift from God. It's all of grace. I just receive it, and I take it, and I accept it. You see, my salvation is something that God gives me through my faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. Slow, Colby. Come on, buddy. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You guys see that word grace up there? Not of works, lest any man should boast. See that word grace? You know what that word grace means? It means getting something for nothing. That's what grace means. It means getting something for nothing. So, now we have, does everybody understand now about salvation? You got a pretty good understanding of what I'm talking about? How you saved, right? So, how do we get it? What it means? So what needs to happen to be saved? Well, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Or it's as easy as A, B, C. So what happens? What do I need to do? Well, the first thing to be saved is you have to admit. Have to admit, A-D-M-I-T. The first thing that we have to do if we want to be saved is we have to admit. We admit that we are a sinner. That's what we admit. We admit we're a sinner. A great example of that is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 41. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on the cross. And Jesus on the cross, there are two thieves that are hanging beside him. And as the day progresses, these thieves are looking at each other, looking at Jesus. And one of the thieves on the cross spoke and he said this. He said, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Now what he's talking about there, you see, that thief on the cross realized something. He said, "You know what? We're a bunch of robbers. We're a bunch of thieves. We're a bunch of murderers. We're sinners." We admit that. He admitted that. He said, "I'm a sinner, and I'm getting my reward for what I've done." He said, "But this Jesus, he's done nothing. He's done nothing wrong. He's never sinned. So, none of us deserve heaven because we're sinners." Amen? None of us deserve it. But what did I say grace was? Getting something you what?
Free.
Don't deserve. You get it for free. You don't deserve it. But we all, none of us deserve that because we're sinners. Now, remember Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, who has sinned? All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, just like all have sinned, all need to be saved. Amen? If all have sinned, it bears the reason that all need to be saved. You see, every one of us, if all of us have sinned, that means everybody has this problem of sin. Amen?
Amen?
All of us have it. All of us have it. Everyone has it. Everyone who does not live a perfect life is guilty of sin. All of us. Everybody in this building. Everybody on the whole planet tonight. Whether you're living in Australia or China or South Africa or England or Italy or Nicaragua or Honduras or Brazil, everybody has sinned. Everybody. Everybody who doesn't live a perfect life is guilty of sin. So when we admit we are a sinner, we're taking the first step towards salvation. We are admitting that we're a sinner. We are turning from sin, and we're turning from self, and we're turning to God. We admit we're a sinner. Second thing is believe. In the book of Acts, when we meet a Philippian jailer who learned about salvation, you see there was two guys that were named Paul and Silas, and they were thrown in jail. They were thrown in jail because of their love for Jesus. They were preaching and teaching about Jesus, but instead of being upset, how would you feel if you got thrown in jail? Did you feel good? I'm with you, buddy. Two thumbs down, right? Don't want to be in jail. I've never been there, but I've been in ministry in jails, and you don't want to be there. But Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. And instead of being upset, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, the Bible says that they began singing and praying in the middle of the night. And you know what happened? When they started singing and praying and calling upon God, the Bible says there was an earthquake. And the foundation of the building started to shake. And the jailer who was responsible for Paul and Silas, he came in and he said, he brought them out. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. He said, "What do I got to do to be saved?" And verse 31 says, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe. Admit and believe. You see, listen to me. Everybody look up here. God loves each and every one of us. He loves you and you and you and you and you. He loves everybody in this building from the pulpit all the way out the back door. Amen? And he also, because he loves us, he offers us salvation. But we've done nothing to deserve it. We've done nothing to deserve it. When Jesus died on the cross, God provided salvation for whosoever would repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. You guys know John chapter 3, verse 16? You don't know that? It's up on the board. Look what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Admit, and then believe. If you notice up there, that's 25 words, if my math is correct. And the very center word of that verse is Son, S-O-N. S-O-N, that's talking about Jesus. But the second most important word in that verse is whosoever. Jesus will say, whosoever. If you admit and you believe, and then there's one more thing. You have to confess. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now Jesus must be believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth. You see, believing comes before confessing, and it must be in the heart before it comes out of the mouth. Amen? You got that? All right. So we publicly confess our faith in Jesus. That's what we do. That's what it's talking about. So now, I've explained to you what salvation is. Amen? So everybody, when you walk out here tonight, could you tell somebody what salvation is? Could you get through it a little bit? Told you what salvation is, and I told you how to be saved, and then my last thought will be this. Why we need to be saved. Why? Why do we need to be saved? You see, the word saved in the Bible, it means to be delivered or rescued from danger or doom. You see, saved describes what God in Jesus has done for us, amen, to us, and in us. God has saved us from sin. Now, don't sit there and think, well, if I'm saved, will I ever sin again? Or will I be perfect? No. You're going to sin again. That's going to happen. When I say God has saved us from sin, it means that he saved us from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
Remember what I told you the penalty of sin was? Death. The physical death first, and then the spiritual death of hell, where you're separated from God forever. No hope. So he saves us from the penalty of sin. Now also, listen to me. Not only has he saved you from the penalty of sin, he's going to save you from the power of sin. You say, what do you mean the power of sin? Well, you no longer have to live in habitual sin. You don't have to live that way any longer. You see, because when you save, the Holy Spirit, a piece of God is going to come and live in your heart. When you start to mess up and you start to sin and do the wrong thing, he's going to say, hey, that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. What are you doing? That's not right. That's called conviction. You don't have to live like that anymore.
Amen.
So you're saved from the penalty of sin. You're saved from the power of sin. And bless God, one day he'll save you from the very presence of sin. Amen? And when I'm talking about that, I want to tell you guys, when you're saved, you go to heaven. Heaven is a sinless, perfect place. No sin there. You see, we need to be saved because God's standard is absolute perfection, and we can't get there. We can set goals. We can turn over a new leaf. We might get close, but we're still going to shoot that arrow, and we're going to miss God's target that he has for us. We're going to miss it. We're going to come short of the glory of God. And until we're saved, we're going in the opposite direction of God. The opposite direction. And the reason we do what we do, the reason we say what we say, the reason we think what we think The reason we watch what we watch and the reason we live like we live is because of our sinful nature. We are sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. That's what we are. We are sinners who need a Savior. We are separated from God, and we cannot get to God on our own. Jesus is how we get to God. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus was talking, and he said this. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now notice that. Everybody look up there and look at that. Jesus didn't say, I am a way, did he? He didn't say, I'm one way. He didn't say, I might be your best choice. He said, I am the way. Now what that means is this. It means if you're depending on anything else but Jesus Christ for your salvation, you'll spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever and ever. That's what that means. So now, we're going to have an invitation. And this invitation is for anybody who would like to accept Jesus as your Savior. Amen? This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. And then we're all going to stand. Mary and Marianne are going to come and they're going to play a hymn. And if you want to be saved, you come down front. I'll talk to you. If I'm busy, Brandon will be up here. Dan, we'll have other people up here. Amen. So let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. Father, I know every available demon in hell is in this sanctuary right now. Father, we come to church a lot of times and for enjoyment, for entertainment. That's all well and good. But Father, we also know that the devil always comes to church. He beats us here, as a matter of fact. Waiting for us when we get here. And Father, these young people here tonight, I have no idea what they've been told in the past. Father, I know they've been taught the word when they're here at Clearfork, and we thank you for that. And Father, to the best of my ability, from what you gave me, I'll explain to them how to be saved. Why we need to be saved, use your word. And Father, now I'm going to depend upon you for the Holy Spirit to convict, make these young people aware of what it means to be saved, why they need to be saved. And Father, there's a lot of people here as well that are not part of the faith weavers. They're the older people. They come for Bible study. We have some visitors here. And Father, tonight in the sanctuary, I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Know He's here. And Father, I also know Satan's here today. Father, it's a full-out attack anytime the gospel is presented, especially to young people. Father, so I pray for this hymn of invitation. I pray here in just a minute when we stand to our feet, and anybody under the sound of my voice, whether they be a young man, older lady, a young girl, whatever it may be, if they're not saved, Father, I pray they'd be saved tonight. Father, I pray you give them the courage to step out and come forward. Father, which will lead them to you using your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake.